there. Now, once again, isn't it nice to have all that Bishop's Lenten Appeal stuff out of the way? And we still have enough time for a homily here today, although, albeit slightly abbreviated one. So I'll tell you a little story this morning about how once upon a time, and not so very long ago, I was listening to a Hollywood screenwriter who was talking about a subject that I found to be fascinating. He was talking about what it takes to write a great story. And this is what he said. He said the key to writing a great story was to create a believable villain. And the key to creating a believable villain is to remember every villain thinks that he's a hero. The key to a great story, the key to a believable villain, remember, every villain thinks he's a hero. The worst real-life villains don't think of themselves as villains. They think they're saving the world. Only in comic books does the villain twirl his mustache and plot dastardly deeds. In fact, we are so driven to try to think that we're doing good that we tell ourselves that we're doing good even when we're completely mistaken about what real good and real evil are. Which raises the $64 question. Here's the question of the day. Who's to say what's good and what's evil? Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? I mean, if the villain thinks that he's a hero, who's to say he's in the wrong? Even Jesus said to his apostles that the day would come when they would be put to death, and the people putting them to death would tell themselves that they were doing God's will. So who's to say what's good and what's evil? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, God's the one who tells us what's good and what's evil, and that's certainly true. All I will ask you to do today is maybe take it one step further. One step further beyond God said it, I believe it, that settles it. How do you know what's good? And how do you know what's evil? The answer is in our gospel. You will know the tree by its fruits. I don't care who thinks you're a villain. I don't care who thinks you're a hero. Answer me this. What fruits do your actions produce? And if you're wondering what good fruit is, remember St. Paul told us that. It's in the letter to the Galatians. He says, what's the fruit of the good spirit? Love, joy, peace, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, control of yourself. That's the good fruit that you saw in the lives of the saints. That's what you see in a Mother Teresa of Calcutta or a Francis of Assisi. That's what you see in a John Paul II or a John Vianney. That's what you see in a Vincent de Paul or our very own Saint Therese. People who loved their enemies and were good to those who hated them, who blessed those who cursed them, and who prayed for those who persecuted them. They delivered good fruit, and that's how we know that they were greatly good souls. And you know there's plenty of evidence for the bad fruit, isn't there? 20th century is filled with stories of self-appointed heroes who wrought misery on their people. Whether it's a Pol Pot or a Mao Zedong or a Hitler or a Stalin, what, they woke up every morning and they thought they were the saviors of the world, didn't they? They thought they were going to deliver heaven on earth. And what did they deliver? They delivered a mountain of corpses. You'll know the tree by its fruit. Here's an interesting aside, something to keep in mind. The good fruit doesn't always show up right away. In fact, very often, you've got to be patient and act in faith before you can see the results that it produces. That actually was the principle of St. Ignatius of Loyola for the discernment of spirits. If you're ever trying to discern whether you're listening to the good spirit or the evil spirit, Ignatius of Loyola says, just remember this. When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's often very difficult right up front, but it produces great results down the road. And when you're listening to the evil spirit, it's usually very pleasant right up front, but it produces misery down the road. It's actually kind of like eating, you know? When you're eating vegetables, you're not too happy about it, but you sure are happy about the results that it produces in your life. And if you're eating cotton candy, quick rush, long-term regret. And if you want to have good fruit in your life, remember this. Good fruit comes from a good root. And the root that produces good fruit is the cross of the Lord. If you ever get a chance to go to Rome, maybe you'll remember this. Try to go to the Basilica of St. Clement. That one's off the main tourist track, but maybe you'll remember somebody once told you, try to go to the Basilica of St. Clement, and there in the back of the church, you'll see this magnificent mosaic of a cross. And if you look really carefully at the cross in the back of the church, you'll recognize the cross is actually a tree. It's got roots growing out the bottom of it, and out the sides are all these branches, and they're bearing the most beautiful fruit. And the message there is the tree that produces the good fruit is the cross. Not just Jesus' cross, but more specifically, our participation in Jesus' cross. And let me tell you just one idea to help you to identify right now where you are, your participation in Jesus' cross. Do you want to know where the cross is in your life? Answer yourself this question. What in my life do I wish that I could eliminate from my life, but I can't do it? Granted, we eliminate what wrong we possibly can eliminate, but where in my life is there something that, you know, if I could possibly get rid of it, I would, but I can't? Maybe it's an illness. Maybe you were the victim of a crime. Maybe someone mistreated you or a relationship fell apart. Or maybe you lost someone that you loved in the suddenness of death. If you wish you could get rid of it, but you can't, can I give you the most revolutionary thought of all? That's the holiest place in your life. That's your cross. That's the root that bears the good fruit. And here's what we do with it. We turn it into a very simple prayer intention. That when that cross hurts you, you say to yourself, Lord, I believe. Or, Lord, help me to keep going. Or anything at all by which you trust and keep on going in faith. That's the cross, the root that produces all the good fruit. Because I'll tell you a deep, dark secret about the human heart. God has made the human heart such that all we want to seek is good. And we want good so badly that we'll even lie to ourselves, doing things that we know aren't good in the long term, but that we want them for ourselves now. That's how strongly we want to reach out and grab what's good. And when we do that, what we discover is that it has one really bad fruit. It causes us to condemn in others the very thing that we excuse in ourselves. Have you noticed this? Make this a prayer intention at some point. Just think about this. But that there's some behavior that you absolutely hate in somebody else, drives you crazy, really grinds your gears. Would it shock you to be told that that same fault is in you? Maybe not the exact same fault, but branch off the same tree. Whatever we most viciously condemn in ourselves, viciously condemn in others, it's actually part of ourselves. The very first one to see faults in others is often the very last one to see the same fault in himself. And Jesus looks at such people and he calls them hypocrites. Amble about your life, picking out the speck in somebody else's eye when you don't even realize you got a plank blowing outside of your own eye. Would you like to avoid being a hypocrite? Would you like to avoid being a hero in your own imagination? Then model your life on the mystery of our Lord's cross. He's calling to you. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.